Unterblieben lauten so.
Morales, touch over Mitrica. Here he comes. Alexander Mitrica, cutting it back. Mitrica!
From the penthouse here in Jersey City, it's Third Rail New Jersey presents Behind Enemy Lines. It's, as always, hosted by your boys, Bryce.
That's me.
That is you.
Maybe turn on my mic.
Your mic is on.
Okay, fine. Hey, welcome to Behind Enemy Lines. This is episode 34.
34?
Which, contrary to popular belief, is 66 from 100.
Hey, Edgar's here.
Hi.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome to the
It's first, not just us for once.
I know, it's the first guest of 2019.
Yeah.
Season number 5. And NYCFC.
And I guess now that we have a Brazilian striker, anyone of Brazilian descent in the team, you can call me either Edgarinho, Edgarau, or just Edgar.
I'm going to go Edgarinho.
45 seconds into the podcast and he's bringing race into it.
It's
come on, dude.
Uncalled for.
We bring you here for your analysis, not to bait the trolls.
That's my job to say the racist.
We're not going to like my analysis today.
What are you, a Nazi? You sitting over there in the by Monument Park, doing some heils, singing
Niet.
Deutschland, yeah. Deutschland, Überalles.
Isn't that Russian?
Niet is Russian. I was in Russia.
Same shit.
Maybe, more or less. But we signed a striker.
We signed a striker.
More or less.
Da, 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 da.
Some people say he's a left winger, but they can kick rocks.
Listen,
that's my striker.
I have heard both. I saw a tweet that said that he is first and foremost a striker. The bad Euro music highlight video shows him as a striker. And he's tall. He's taller than anybody else in our front. He's a striker.
Wait, he's taller than tweets?
Yeah. You mean the guy who rivals Maxi Morales for like the child ticket at the fucking movie theater?
He's amazing though.
Also, I saw someone, I can't remember the name or the source right now, but I read it earlier today that someone reported to MLS that they follow the Croatian league and they're a professional and knowing what's going on with the Croatian league, and that NYCFC fans should consider him a true nine. So I'll find that eventually while we're sitting here and we can come back to that, but he's a striker.
He's a striker.
And I think we can all have a cheers to that while we are cheersing our delicious Ballast Point Grapefruit Sculpin IPA.
Mm-mm. You're going to notice a lack of clinking cans there because all three of us, as the broadcasting professionals we are, clinked our cans as far away from the heads of our microphones as possible.
That's true. I mean, maybe we should have a fourth mic here only for the clinking of our cans.
Just to have a beer can on mic at all times?
Or maybe we should just have some sound effects.
That was essentially Ron last year. Just a beer can with a mic.
That's all he did. I mean, I guess we disguised his voice for a few episodes.
So keeping on the topic of good news, Mitrica, 2 games in, looking pretty good. And I have proof that we ain't seen the best of him yet. Are we going to get a stadium this year? There's a couple of rumor mills going around that we could get a stadium.
I don't know if we'll get a stadium because that is definitely going to take way more than a couple months.
An announcement, Edgar. Don't be a douche.
Okay.
Okay.
You
know what we're talking about.
There are some people that will take that out of context, so I'm just calling it out right now.
They've been building it on the down low in one of the biggest metropolitan areas in the world.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yep, because, you know, it's always easy to build a soccer stadium in New York City.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they're big, much like Johnson's dick, who was in goal last night.
Slinging it.
Big Dick Johnson.
Yeah.
That's a hashtag. Started up hashtag BDJ.
They were so scared of BDJ. There was not even a shot registered on goal.
Didn't even take a shot on brick wall Big Dick Johnson.
I know. Take that to the bank.
And we will have a little bit more analysis on that later in the podcast. But everybody's talking about it. Everybody's been talking about it for like the past week. It feels like 2 years. We have a striker. For the first time in 3 weeks since the start of the MLS season, for the first time since the preseason, we actually have a striker.
I just want to say that I broke the news first.
How did you break that?
I broke the news via the TRNJ chat. And people laughed at me. They thought, you're crazy. This isn't happening. And in true form, I called it.
Once again, the TRNJ chat rumor mill comes true. If you want to get in on this action, join up on Third Rail New Jersey. Meet us in the stands. We'll tell you how to get going, because you will get inside information from the NYCFC Adam Schefter himself, Edgar.
Edgar Rodriguez.
You're all welcome.
So I was looking into him. Obviously, we, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, the cheesy Euro trash highlight movie showed a lot of like speed, I would say, a creativity on the ball. He's not afraid to shoot, that's for sure. Because there were a lot of shots in these videos where
there's a quality I think that gets overlooked, whereas like just being able to be in the right place, which is like position. But it's people that just find their way to the ball and find their way in the goal. It's very, very important for a striker to have that.
He also doesn't think about it twice. So, example, look, I don't like watching highlight videos at all. It's like watching a highlight video of Pato from, and I'm just saying this for example because people are linking him to three teams in MLS, but like if you watch a video of Pato from like when he was 18, there's no point of like even considering that same caliber of player to where he is now. So what I did was I watched a couple of the games from last year that where they had him at this particular left wing spot. Mm. And what I noticed, and what people have been saying since, well, not people, but like two columnists that came out and said it, they're like, look, from the videos that we've watched from his games, his hold up play is good. It looks like they're only playing him at left wing because he takes the ball out at left wing. They'll pass it out to him. And then the guy cuts in and then becomes a second striker. Right. So,
I mean, if you look at the way we were trying to play against DC and then again, who do we just play? I'm blanking.
LAFC.
LAFC.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you could see that's kind of what we're trying to set up with Matrizia. And I mean, we were saying this after the LAFC game. Once Matrizia finds somebody who can like play off of him and mm-hmm. you know is confident on the ball, is confident with the passing, has a confident shot himself, you're going to find a dangerous double in the front. Because now think about the way we're set up now. We have Tejura Shirardi on the left. Aber.
Herbert.
I've heard it said Haber. I've heard it say Herbert. I'm going to go with Haber. He's going to be up top. Matrizia behind him or on the left wing. Mm-hmm. And then on the right wing, either Tejura Shirardi or Matrizia. So right there you have a dangerous top four of people who are known to score.
And this provides us so much depth. Like, I feel like we have such an underrated amount of depth. Like, so many midfielders, you know, enough to just field another team of midfielders.
Hashtag free Keaton Parks.
Goddamn right. And with Aber having our actual true striker, we have a lot of wings that can go behind him. We even have people to, you know, spell off him. We haven't even seen Ismael Tejura-Shirardi.
Barely, just a whiff.
Yeah, just like somehow he's not getting in minutes, but it just shows how much depth we have. And even with David Villa gone, like, I'm not worried about us getting the goals. I feel like we're gonna find them. Our midfield play is good. Our defense needs to get more solid, which is ridiculous because we have some really good people.
I think you're gonna see the defense kind of mellow out a little bit now, only because you know it was pointed out already this season that Ring's doing a lot more forward work than he has the last two seasons with the club. And I think that has a lot to do with we don't have a sharp tip of a spear yet. Now, once we can, you know, dedicate four players to the offensive position, which is what I think Domi is going to do, then you can have Sands and Ring or Parks and Ring or Torres and Ring or who else do we sign and Ring?
Yeah. So
as those two midfielders and then the back four, but Sweat's got to be relegated to the bench at this point.
So I actually, funny enough, I was talking to Paventa about this last week about the fact that I think we're playing, and obviously we're playing with 11 people out there, but it seems at times that we're playing with 10 only because Maxi's so out of position that you might as well be playing with 10 because like he's not a forward. He is a offensive midfielder that creates you know, on a breakaway or
he's a playmaker.
Yeah, exactly. A playmaker. So when we're running off on on a counterattack, right, it's usually Maxey that's distributing the ball. What I've been noticing, it's not Maxey, it's Ring. Ring is bringing the ball up, or it's maybe even Ofori on Matrice's goal. I think he was the one that laid it off to Maxey, and then Maxey kind of chipped it off to
off the wing,
way.
Yeah.
Either way, what I'm saying is once we have an actual forward, right, Maxey will drop back a little bit more to be that creative playmaker. Ring with Sands are going to protect the midfielder. I mean, the defensive mid, which, by the way, Sands, underrated player of the year so far.
He's been fantastic so far.
He's been awesome.
Every game, he's been growing in confidence. And I want to say right now, before we lose it, he's been playing very physical. He's not afraid to get into, you know, like somebody who's 10 years older than 12 years his senior.
I'm sure, what's the guy's name? Martinez from LAFC. I'm sure he remembers the kind words of encouragement that I was saying to him last week when letting him know that an 18-year-old that has not even filled out his college application yet was bodying him up. Hard body. Well, people say hard body Shroddy in a different podcast, but hard body Sands.
That's hot. It's hot.
Okay. Hard body Shroddy. Yeah, I mean, in the beginning of the season, Dome said, you know, oh, Sands is he's earned that spot in the midfield. You know, you're going to see a lot more Sands. He's going to be starting. We're all sitting there going, this is the Herrera replacement. This is, you know, we brought Keaton Parks in. We brought in Torres in, but the 18-year-old, and he's proven a lot of the naysayers wrong in the first three games of the season.
This is what I will say, though, about Sands. He needs to get stronger, but that's obviously with time. He needs to build up muscle because I'm not going to lie. If you were to ask me Sands or Herrera right now, put them on the squad, I'm going to take Herrera.
Everybody would take Herrera.
Because A, he's strong. B, his passing was always good. The only thing where I think his passing was definitely better because there was like three times last week where Sands just passed it into like above a Ofori's head or above someone's head. But the thing with Herrera is that Herrera was very, he was a loose cannon out there. Easily he could have gotten two or three reds last year that he got saved from. But Sands is very, very smart with the way he fouls. And I don't know if you guys noticed, he got a lot of fouls last week, but it wasn't up until like the 80th plus minute that he got that yellow card.
And that was just for persistence.
Exactly. If he got that yellow card earlier on, I think Dome would have subbed him out. So, yeah.
It's nothing but in being very, very impressed from his style of play and just from a young kid. Like, it's good to see. I'm excited to see Justin Hack get a little bit of minutes this year. And I don't think he's going to be a major fixture, but I would love to see him hit the playing field and see what he can do. It's, again, quality to our depth. Like,
it's a good message. It's a good message to send that a team in its fifth season is starting to produce players that are able to hold their own on the professional level at the age of 18.
Dare I say, we can start chants the "He's one of our own. He's one of our own."
As long as it's not exit night, enter light.
But you got to think about it also this way. Like, yes, we've produced two players. Our academy, I think, has only been in existence for 3-4 years.
Yeah, it hasn't been as long as the first team,
someone,
obviously.
Someone can correct me.
How do we produce two people who've never played soccer before in 2-3 years?
No, that's not – fuck.
From sperm to egg to professional footballer.
You guys can obviously
tell
I haven't done the podcast in forever when I can't pick up on Bryce's humor. But no. This is what I'm saying. Look, Sands and Hawk, like – Hawk had the preseason last year with the first team where he impressed in Mexico versus, I believe it was, give me one second, Necaxa, right, where they were calling him Cavani. Damn, my memory is awesome. My memory is awesome.
See,
but he impressed that game and
disappeared.
It wasn't that he disappeared. He went to the academy because you can't play him, I think, at 14 or 15. No. Now this year he trained a full preseason with the academy. I mean, with the first team. Look, he's probably not going to get a lot of playing time this season, but similar to Sands last year, I think he's going to have those 2, 3, 4, 5 games max. I'll give him 5 games max where he'll come in as a sub.
I can see that happening, especially if we actually win an Open Cup game, we might actually see some more academy yep. graduates, like Hack.
And then next year, I think they bring him into the first team, but he sits bench. He's center mid, right?
Yeah, he just has to grow. I mean that's
no, anybody who's 14. What's his position?
I think he is center mid, but he's just gonna have to grow.
Yeah, he's not gonna take that spot from Ring. No,
I don't think anybody's expecting him to, especially not.
He's the captain.
Soon.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's not going to take the spot from Sands. Sands is obviously leap and bounds, but like
I will have to bring this up right now since we just played LAFC. I unfortunately was not there, which might be why this happened. But I was hearing some things that the LAFC supporters were definitely outclassing the third rail. More importantly, the third rail in New Jersey, because we're the heart.
Yeah, I was watching the game because I had to be at work, and it was clearly obvious that LAFC were out-singing us. It wasn't even a contest.
I couldn't hear – I was there. I couldn't hear them. I'll tell you this. They were definitely bouncing around. They were definitely bouncing around from left to right, but to me, that just looked like they were happy to be in a state that had public transportation.
That's true. I mean, listen, guys, I know more than anyone that LA is a giant shithole. It is and I love Southern California, but LA is just it is the worst. And if you're from LA and you're listening right now, just know that you grew up in a shithole.
Fuck yourselves.
Yeah, you grew up in a shithole. It sucks. Like, people that even move there, they're just, this place fucking sucks.
But some you have too many fucking taco trucks.
Yeah, and the tacos aren't even good. Fuck you, LA. San Diego's the best.
I can attest to that. This is coming from a real Mexican.
Real Mexican is what we'd like to call that.
I approve of Bryce's comment for anyone.
Here we go. And I know more about tacos than mostly anybody, almost even Edgar. Okay.
But do you think this is getting back on point? You think this is an issue that, you know, it's coming out now that we're being outsung at home? Do you think it's Yankee Stadium just not being built for this? Or do you think it's because the press box is 10 feet away from away section?
No, I'll tell you why. Look. So this is how I see it. And like, all jokes aside, the LAFC fans were in an area of the stadium where I think they had they were really compact, right? Like,
yeah, they kind of put them in an alcove.
Yeah. And they were underneath like that little roof part of Yankee Stadium that obviously was going to echo.
Yeah, the second tier, like I was saying, like right next to like the Delta Sky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There,
and where the press boxes are.
Exactly. And look, all credit to them. They were awesome. They were by far the compared to all the other teams. Like even when Red Bull comes here and they like fill up like that little section and then half of the top stand, like they're not even that loud.
We can't.
LAFC, I gotta give them credit because they were dancing the whole time. They were moving side to side. They were, chanting. I couldn't hear them, obviously, but it's because of the acoustics of the stadium, like that stuff.
It's not built for soccer.
And us, we're always so out of sync because, again, the stadium, like
no capo, no nothing.
I can do without it, man. I can do without the New York, sir. Like, that's the dumbest chant I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, but it's easy to recognize.
That it's stupid?
No, it's just easy to recognize. People can pick up on it, like, instantly.
The only people that do it are a man that looks like V for Vendetta. Oh, goddamn it.
Say it.
CJ.
Woo! With his Dome out sign.
Yeah, dude. It's CJ out.
It's really CJ it's raw.
Out.
Okay, so
CJ
they put
out.
They put
CJ
a out. Cut of like the goals from the game on the YouTube channel. And I was looking for audio for today. It cut to Ring doing his like right here, and you can see our friend with his Dome out sign. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's so rough. He just scored a goal, and you're holding that up.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get into it. I already get into it with other people, but
some people are haters.
Some people are just like.
Haters.
No,
haters.
Look. All right. No, you know what? And I'm going to take – not to
– I heard he
not,
called a
not
bomb
him.
Threat into the Special Olympics.
Now that's hateful.
All right. Hate. So, all right. No. So this doesn't just include one person, but one of the things that gets me very upset about just people in general, right? It's like –
I don't like people either.
No. The fans in general. Whether they be third rail, whether they be anyone that follows NYCFC,
I don't like third rail either.
It's
artificial intelligence.
Let's
all the same.
Let me just finish my sentence. It's that people will say, oh, let this, like, you know, forget this person because they suck. Like, I'll be the first to say it, that I think Medina, like, is not up to par to where the standards that NYCFC paid for.
Why would you say something so bold yet so brave?
Look.
Brave.
People are saying Dome out because we've had three ties. Yet people are easily forgetful of the fact that
we lost to Atlanta in the playoffs.
No. Forget at the fact that we lost to the MLS championship.
We had one of the worst. We had one of the worst away records ever.
Dude, he took over a team. He took over a team.
That was in first place and dropped them down to a wild card position.
He took over a team halfway through the season.
That was in first place and chugging along.
He took over a team halfway through the season that had injuries that devastated us, right? AKA David Villa, right? David Villa did not look the same after that one injury that kept him out for like a month and a half.
I personally feel like he tried to implement his way too soon.
Yes, 100%. Without the personnel he needed to implement it.
I almost think like he should have just like rode the ship.
But what are you going to do? You know? What are you going to do? All right.
Well, you can't do much. But like in the middle of the season, if you get the job, you just like we were playing well.
What is he gonna do? Call Patrick Vieira every day, Patrick? What?
Well, no, but you watch our game plan. You see what's been working. And just like don't implement your new way in the middle of a quote unquote successful season. Like, listen, it's a hard position. I'll be the first one to say it's a hard position to be hired mid season. It's even harder to be hired mid season.
Tell it to Ole.
Yeah. No. But like that's being hired mid season where.
Where the team pretty much gave up on you.
When you're unsuccessful.
Yeah. You're three Mourinho.
When you're unsuccessful, you can go in there and do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. You know, like, and no one's going to give you any shit. But like if you're going into a job where they're being very successful, like part of you wants to do it your way because that's the way you want it. That's the way you were hired to do it. But then like it's also like you're trying to fuck up or you're trying to move around pieces of an already successful season. And so it's what does he do? Does he keep the Vieira away to the end of the season, or does he implement his stuff right now? I personally would have just like kept the ship sailing the way Vieira kind of did it. Like obviously it's not going to be the same, but like you knew the lineups that were working. You can watch tape and see what they were doing, or you can just go to them like, hey, fucking let's go. Like, you guys are playing good. Let's go. And then in the off season, then implement your fucking way. You have a whole off season.
He was too early implementing his. Plans, but that being said,
you don't implement them like three quarters of the season. Yeah,
but that being said, what has been implemented so far? Granted, we only have 3 out of 9, which is not good. But this is the MLS, and the beginning of the season doesn't matter.
We'll be fine.
What he's done so far this year, I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah, and also this isn't the fucking premier. This isn't the Premier League. Like you can lose games, and we will be fine at the end of the season. You know, there's no reason to worry.
Morales, touch over. Mitrica, here he comes. Alexander Mitrica, cutting it back. Mitrica! His first for NYCFC opens the scoring. It's 1-0.
Well, you pay big money, you want big plays, and this is a big play. That speed, we've been talking about it all first half, cuts in, slams it home.
And that was Alexi Lalas actually saying something nice about us for a change and complimenting Mitrica, who he was actually kind of like low-key shading on TV. Trying to like, oh, 4.3 million, you know, he's got to perform, and what does he do? He burns not one, not two, but three LAFC defenders, cuts back on his right foot, and slams the ball home.
Red rub. My only regret of that goal is that in the replays, you can't even see the goal properly because of the lighting in Yankee Stadium. The
lighting was pretty brutal.
The shadows are insane. But it's beautiful. It's great. I want to see him run past defenders. I want to see him make people miss. I want to see people laying on the field in pain and agony after he scored a goal.
I feel like he could have scored another goal or possibly gotten the hat trick if LA didn't need to triple team him every time he got the ball.
Yeah, so that all right, so that's his biggest issue, that I thought he should have shot on the breakaway that he had. He also had one, who was it? Who's playing on the right wing?
Jeff Brodsky.
For who?
Jeff Brodsky. For NYCFC. We didn't have Trotty on the right wing. Why am I blanking out?
Was it
right
Castellanos?
Now? Oh yeah, we have Castellanos open on the other side. He easily could have passed it off to Castellanos. I think Mitrita is afraid to use his left foot. I think it might be that he has no left foot.
Why are you sharing this publicly?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Because it's only NYCFC fans.
Like. Why are you announcing this?
Now everyone knows.
Also, wait, hold up. Hold up. Everybody has video on this.
Dick.
Like, all the managers are.
Yeah, but nobody pointed it out yet, but you. No,
nobody has the insight.
Nobody had to say any. You didn't have to say it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have saw it. You guys turn on Hard Knocks and be like, look, he's got no left foot.
You know now they will.
I wish they had an NYCFC Hard Knocks. You know whoever coaches
Red Bull now.
Gotta be depressing as fuck. It'd be more frustrating than Netflix cricket show.
Wait, like the
cricket fever.
Yeah, that looks
like
pretty
the sport
terrible.
Cricket.
I'm like six episodes in. It's frustrating.
Like the sport cricket.
Yeah.
I try to understand it, and not into it.
You need those six episodes of your life back.
You know what? You know what's hard for me to understand? Mitrica even said it himself. This isn't even him at his full form yet.
I'm very happy to score first game home, in front of our fans. The fans are incredible. I'm not 100%. I need time. There are three games that I play. I need more time, and with time for sure I can be out 100%.
I need time. He's not at 100% yet.
Yeah,
this is a guy who's been skinning defenders at will, like you were saying, a ball less than a foot off him every time he touches it.
Yeah,
not 100% yet.
Yeah, and you know what that reminds me of?
I love it.
Like. Think about it this way: you come into a team, right? Right? Did he start our first game? No,
no.
The second game.
He came in for a DC home opener.
For the DC home opener, this is the second home opener. So you're technically been playing with this team
2 days, two games, and a couple practices.
No way, he did start. No. He did play with us versus Orlando.
He did.
I don't know why we blanked out on that one.
Why? Because we never saw him in person yet. Yeah. That's why.
But either way, look, I think. Mitrita is going to be the same as far as like getting used to when it comes to the style of play that we had with last year with Shradi. If you remember, Shradi didn't really break into the team until like after a month and a half.
Yeah, when it took until the New England game where he got the equalizer for people to really pay attention.
Yep. And then I think Mitrita, him saying like, look, I'm not at 100, A, gives him a little bit of leeway. But I think we all know that come a month from now, he's going to be more dangerous. He's going to know the style, like fully the style of play. People like his players are going to know him. And then on top of that, a little bit less pressure from having that third most expensive transfer of all time in the league will come off when you have a center forward like Heber instead of, you know, whatever. Either way, let's give the man his time. I'd rather start off slow and finish strong going into the playoffs than starting off strong and exiting in the semifinals.
Well, you're not the only person who I agree with you that about not exiting in the semifinals and actually ending a season strong. But Dome also seems to agree that we haven't seen the most out of Mitrita yet.
No, Mitrita need to improve physically because I say to... again, before they maybe is in 80%, it's not in the top form, and it's not easy because sometimes it's me three against four,
right there again, me three against four, 100%. I mean, once I feel like both teams that have played him at Yankee Stadium have had an oh shit moment, and it's normally like 5 minutes into the game when two defenders get skinned, and then the next thing you know, he's a magnet.
Yeah,
and I know it's not his first language, but like, God, Dome needs to sound more competent. You know,
well what's interesting is
speak in Spanish, and then I'll have subtitles. Like
he has spoken Spanish,
so he answers questions in both. Yeah, but
I'd rather have the subtitles and like hear like the confidence. You know,
yeah,
I want to hear like the because like. I think it's true in all sports.
He's the same as he speaks the same way that Pep Guardiola sounds afraid half the time he speaks.
Yeah, it's because it's not their second language.
You want a coach that like speaks with like gravitas.
Like Jurgen.
Like, yeah.
I am just a normal guy.
Yeah.
But nothing makes you be like, oh, who is leading us? It's
You know, it's just well, it's funny because you watch the press conferences. Well, you guys don't, but I have to because I cut the audio. He answers questions in English. He also answers questions in Spanish from the Spanish reporters, just ask him straight up in Spanish. And then he's got a really smoking hot translator next to him.
It's nice. That's a good move.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
It shows he has a good head on his shoulders.
Well, she does at least. And let's finish up the Mumble Fest with one more quote from our leader.
Boom, boom, boom.
Smith is a top player for us. He's a good player. That is the reason why the club decided to sign this player. And we need to sign the right player. Not that is the reason why. Sometimes I say, okay, we need another player. Yeah. But we need to sign the right player.
And what was that? 4 days later, Herbert.
But this is the thing.
Care Bear.
They had already pretty much given out like small details that this guy was the next player, you know, to come to New York. By the way, let us all remember it was between NYCFC and New Jersey.
Yeah, thank God.
So
thank God.
Because let us remember this. Red Bull, besides the fact that Bradley Roy Phillips, in his own way, I will give him credit. He's a very, very lethal forward, right? He can't do it all. And they have been known to switch to two strikers. And the fact that they're looking to trade away Kaku, oh my God, this is like a huge win for us. Because the second that we got Herbert, that means that they can't trade Kaku or Kaka, whatever the fuck his name is.
Kaka is a different
was
a different guy.
And they have a liability on their team, which is hopefully going to help us during the derby.
Preach.
Damn. Right.
How great would it be come Derby Day, their missed signing target scores a header to win it at their, I can only describe it as a toilet bowl of failed dreams and stale beer.
Sounds like Harrison, New Jersey.
It is Harrison, New Jersey. Oh. Funny you should say.
Let's, speaking of that trash panda of a stadium.
Raccoons?
Yes. Trash panda. We have our own. Which actually, a fun thing that I told Edgar before the pod is that there's actually a minor league baseball team called the Trash Pandas. I'm kind of obsessed with it right now. It's amazing. But we had some stadium announcement over the past week. Yankees chairman said that we will be happy to maybe announce a stadium in the coming year.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me we have stadium news?
Stadium
news. Is this stadium news? It's time for the annual game of When Will We Get a Stadium? So that's our hot stadium news song.
And no, Alex Jones will not be joining us.
He's too busy making the frogs gay.
That was beautiful timing. Did you practice that?
A little bit, yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. My parents are worried.
But I mean, on another note, the frogs are gay.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
100%. But the stadium news, is that 100% or no? I feel like we've been doing the for 4 years now.
I think it's good news that the Yankees chairman is saying it because I feel like he wants us the fuck out of Yankee Stadium.
Why would they want us the fuck out of Yankee Stadium? We're paying them $1 million a game.
So this is my take on this. This is my take on this.
Who fucking who? They're overpaid tattooed millionaires.
This is my take on this that somebody forgot to tell him to keep his mouth shut.
You think so?
I think that was just like it wasn't even like a slip.
It was Joe just like Biden almost saying he was running for president last week.
I don't know. I don't follow politics like that. But it was like he was just, it like came out. It's like, oh, NYCFC, we're looking to make an announcement. Whereas Reyna, who is like obviously very like involved in the team, it's like, oh, well, we may.
We'll see.
Whereas the president of the Yankees, like, they must have told him, like, all right, we have a spot. We're going to put this, like, this bid in. And he feels very confident about it. That, to me, it was a higher vote of confidence as far as the stadium is concerned than ever before.
Yeah. Reyna, we feel good and we feel close in regards to a stadium, whereas this guy, Levin, said, we are in active negotiations to get a new stadium in New York. We hope to have an announcement this year, so it's been great. as we're going over to London, they have been fabulous offering all their resources to us because the Yankees and Sox are playing a game in London for some fucking reason. Oh, but that means we won't get sent to Hartford for a game.
Are you sure resources doesn't mean money?
I think, well, in New York City, it does mean money.
Okay.
100% means money. You try to go to Bodega and get yourself a Dutch Master for less than $4. And then tell me you can build a stadium from the cheap in New York City.
You go to a bodega, try to get a steak and cheese for under $5.
Do not try to take their fucking cat because they will stab you.
Oh, man. I love bodega
cats. I love bodega cats.
I love bodega coffee.
I just like bodegas.
Yeah. It's nice. As a San Diego man, you know, bodegas are very nice.
It's one thing like that New York City and New Jersey truly have in common.
Oh, my God. Bodegas. If they had a bodega right next to the stadium with steak and cheese, and then a coffee. Oh my God.
Are we missing out by not calling our rivalry the Bodega Derby?
No, because New Jersey doesn't have any bodegas. So
New Jersey totally has bodegas. I lived in Patterson.
What about
not in Harrison, though.
Wait. Bodega Gaddon.
I mean, they're not in Patterson. They're in Harrison.
Do you even hear me right now?
No, because I'm trying to follow.
Bodega Gaddon.
No. Bodega Derby.
Bodega Derby.
Just, I'm going to turn off your microphone in a second. Bodega Derby.
All right, let's move on.
I can yell loud enough.
We don't have anything else to move on to. This is the part of the show where we do shout-outs and go home.
No. We did have a United States men's national team game.
Wait, did we? Because it was really boring.
It was boring as shit.
I've already forgot about talking about it. That's how lame it was.
Can I have an unpopular opinion as per listening to the announcers of the game?
Only if you follow it up with a kiss.
I don't like Will Trapp. I think Will Trapp is fucking boring. I think he does nothing. I think he provides nothing for the team.
I think we should wait more than three matches under a new coach before we make these accusations. But that being said,
he's been playing with the team for like the last year.
This team is constantly changing.
All they were doing was praising him last night. I was just like, he hasn't done shit.
I mean,
all he
does is lose the ball. They were also constantly praising Pulisic, but for the first time in a United States uniform, he looked like he was actually fitting the bill.
Yeah, and I looked at Areola down the side, but he couldn't make it past a defender.
Morris also looked pretty good.
Who?
Morris.
I found it weird him being in the lineup again because I don't really think he's that good.
But
he was okay.
For those of you who didn't pass out before halftime, Zardes with the goal. I mean, these are the type of goals that you expect Team USA to get. These crappy goals that, you know, they don't look great. They're not pretty, but goal's a goal at the end of the game. And these are the type of things we weren't doing when we were full of Michael Bradleys.
I mean, listen, in a World Cup final, I'll take that goal.
Everybody would take that goal.
I'll take the goal.
So I kind of want to switch off.
No.
From
stop
the
it.
National
nope.
Team.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
What do you – why?
Why?
No, because what? I wanted – there was what? One point nope. from the – all right.
You're trying to kill her vibe.
Yeah, nope.
No.
Listen, isn't Mexico playing Chile today?
No, it's NYCFC related.
Then give it to me, baby. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Fine, whatever.
Look, one of the things that I think I forgot to mention like before, right, as far as like the game and just the team in general, is we have Mitri, who has taken a bunch of shots on goal, actually leads the league with 19 shots.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Also, just to call it out, because I'm always called out on it on the TRNJ chat, there's two players that I said we should have signed with that DP contract instead of Medina, which is Lodeiro, who handed a title to Seattle 2 years ago when I called. I was like, we should sign Lodeiro, right? Leads the league with assists right now at 3. Next up, Quintero, who is riding the bench very hard, far left. He was, you know what? He was left bench when he was in Club America. They got him on the cheap. Leads the league with Lodeiro in assists.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, killed it. I think we would be better off with any of those two players instead of Medina.
Yeah, so a clean sheet for Johnson in his representation of the USA. Lewis comes on near the end. It doesn't really do much. But yeah, Pulisic, Morris, I thought they looked pretty good.
The Pulisic doesn't look good.
I thought he looked pretty good. He's not going to look good next year.
He's playing.
He's not going to look good next year in Chelsea. That's right. Damn sure.
So, all right, from the highlights that I saw from Pulisic, he is not a – they're playing him out of fucking
position. He's a winger. He's not a midfielder.
He's not a – all right, thank God. Dude, everybody in like every single post that I've been seeing, it's like, oh, he played great. He played great. He played okay. It's like, are people just like willing to hype him up?
Well, they were talking about this on the broadcast. People are afraid to criticize Pulisic.
Why?
Because he's he's the best American soccer player we have right now. And heaven forbid we criticize somebody who's a professional.
Do you think people haven't criticized Landon Donovan or Clint?
They should.
No. Let me finish.
DeAndre Yedlin should get
it
more.
Let me finish this
thought. That is San Diego soccer's player.
Let me finish this thought. Let me finish this thought.
Finish this whore over there.
Has do you think with Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey, those two actually in particular, those are the only two that really come to mind. When they've ever received criticism, they've always stepped up their game.
Yeah.
Right. But they've also never been played really out of position.
But neither of them are also playing for Dortmund and then Chelsea before they turn 20.
It doesn't matter, dude. You give someone criticism early on and you give it to them so that they can grow thick skin. What's going to happen when he's 25, 27? Actually, no, wait. World Cup's going to be in
four. What's going to happen next season when he's playing at Stamford Bridge?
No. In 3 years. In 3 years when he's 23 and hopefully will be at the World Cup in Qatar, or 28 when the World Cup is here in the US, like, and he gets a little bit of criticism, right? He's gonna shut down. You give that to him right now when he's young, and then he's gonna brush that off in a couple of years.
Well, he's one of the better players on this young team,
which is why you give him the criticism now to give him 100%
agree
skin.
With you.
That's my point.
That being
said,
I thought he played well yesterday. I thought him and Morris played very well. There was a lot of times There was a lot of times in that game where
Areola sucks.
Where they played out of the say that to DC United right now.
Areola sucks.
Nipples. So, first off, say Nipples. His name is Nipples.
He's got speed.
Nipples,
but
Areola, you suck.
No, just Nipples.
Nipples.
Yeah, just
suck.
Nipples. He's got speed, but he can't do anything with it. Because he gets down the side, and then like every single time.
But then again, in the MLS, it works. In the when you're talking international, not so much. But getting back to what I was saying, we played out of the back a couple times the same way NYCFC would, with one big difference. When we got pressured in the back, we give up a goal. When the United States got pressured in the back, they found it. They found a good outlet pass and was able to push the ball in the midfield and maintain possession.
Because you have McKennie.
Yeah.
In the midfield, which I think these stupid friendly games are retarded because now he's hurt.
Please don't use the R word.
All right. He's
mentally
handicapped. Yeah. He's dumb.
This game was mentally handicapped.
All right. I feel like we can talk about this forever, but I think your time has come to an end.
Oh, do you now?
But let's go around.
Happy spring.
Happy spring.
Oh, yeah. It was a spring cast.
Unless you're in the Catskills, got 8 inches of snow last night.
Whoop, whoop. That's called spring snow.
That's called Miracle March, baby. I'm going riding on Wednesday.
Boom, boom, boom.
All right, let's start off the shout-outs because I'm rolling music.
Edgar, shout-out. Call out.
Huge shout-out to my boy Charlie at home. And JP, who it be, a.k.a. John Paventa, for just being super funny on the first home game.
We need you back in the pod ASAP.
We miss you, JP.
Connor.
I was looking at you. Ladies first.
I would like to give a shout out to the beautiful state of Arizona that I was just at last weekend, which is why there was no pod. But amazing. Best time of the year. San Diego fucking Padres are winning the NL West. I know everyone cares.
Good energy. I want to give my shout out to Claire Inn for keeping me from dying the last 2 days, because without it, I would have been a mess. You wouldn't have had 2 weeks at the podcast. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. This is Behind Enemy Lines from the penthouse in Jersey City. We're out.
Summertime.
Hasta luego.